contract by 0.1% for the third quarter and by 0.2% in the fourth. So two consecutive quarters of negative contraction equates to a recession. We're going to take a look at something that you're not familiar with. It's called the high seas, and this is something that was called a missed opportunity, in which there was no agreement on these talks, a zone that encompasses almost half of the planet. Negotiators have been trying for 15 years to agree on a legally binding text to address the multitude of issues facing international waters, which includes, obviously, fish in the water. And we thought that this would catch your attention, as it did with us, regarding poverty. 736 million poor people around the world struggling to survive on $1.90 each day. Now, in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic and poverty, the source is seeing micro-businesses collapse and families lose their only source of income. Those were the topics we chose for this section, the InfoNews section. Please do send any topics that you deem important or from where you are. We would really appreciate it. Contact information is on your screens now.
Listening to Economic Divide. The series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
Let's try to get a breakdown on this in terms of an analysis. Our guest joining us for this edition, Professor Piero Lionella. He's a full professor of oceanographic and atmospheric science at the University of Salento, who joins us. Professor, welcome. Taking a look at what is happening to Europe, it's quite astounding. And then in terms of the analysis, it's indeed far-reaching for the climate change via the result, which has been this drought. What are the different type of characteristics, and how bad will the society as a whole get affected by this in the way you see it?
Well, you know, there is an experience everywhere in the world that general natural disasters by themselves are not enough to trigger social crisis, especially in well-organized countries. Governmental institutions, public institutions, organizations of citizens have a lot of capacity on preventing actually the crisis hitting those that have lower means for facing it. So I would say, if you ask my personal opinion, it depends what you mean by social crisis. What do you mean by social crisis? Clearly, a damage and some reduction of income will undeniably occur. But social crisis would be something very surprising in well-organized countries, in democratic countries, where citizens can elect their representatives. But in general, there is a strong capacity of central governments to act in such a way to compensate for those hazards and reduce risks.
Okay. Well, Professor thinks that governments are equipped to actually deal with that. So social crisis may be somewhat far-fetched. Dureid Mahasne rejoins us, environment and water expert, to see whether he thinks the same or not. Dureid, welcome back. The economic crisis as a result of the drought is multifaceted. Agriculture, water, energy, things of that nature are obviously affected, but that pushes people's lives to the edge, not only economically, but just in terms of survival. What are we looking at when it comes in terms of the chances, that is, of a social crisis evolving out of this?
Well, definitely, this is a crisis in the beginning, actually. We haven't seen the worst yet, and it would lack of water would result in socioeconomic instability. Let's start first of all by worrisome and households, people would not get enough water for their needs. Secondly, there are economic consequences in tourism, in industry, in so many other factors. So it is not an easy factor. It is not an easy crisis, and it would increase. And worse is that, say, the link between clean energy and water is not available.
The economic cost of the drought is expected to put the governments under more pressure. Extreme weather is affecting livestock producers who are already grappling with rising grain and energy costs, plus labor shortages and disease outbreaks. That has already affected meat markets across the continent. Dairy farmers are in a similar predicament. Problems caused by drought may lower their output in the coming months. That in turn will increase the price of dairy products, which are already rising.
Drought in Europe. Who would have thought that Europe would be battered by it? In addition to the fallout from the pandemic and the Ukraine conflict, things are looking pretty bleak for the continent as a whole. But the current heat wave is not unique to Europe as a whole. There have been numerous other heat waves that Europe has experienced in the past. Perhaps many are not aware, but the European heat wave of 2003 was blamed for more than 70,000 deaths. Subsequent heat waves in 2006, 10, 15, 18, 19, and 2020 killed thousands more. This brings about the question, why are heat waves so common in Europe? The fact of the matter is, Europe is warming disproportionately fast. Europe has warmed by nearly twice the global average of 1.1 degrees Celsius. Recent European heat waves reached temperatures 3 to 5 degrees higher than was recorded prior to the current period of climate change. Currently, that stands at 1.94 to 1.99 degrees Celsius, hotter on average than the pre-industrial average. Remember these headlines? How can anyone forget them? This is what Europe was faced in the past few years. Courtesy of the European Commission, a first-ever pan-European quantitative assessment of the economic impacts in Europe is presented in the next infography to show you the economic damage from drought. Four regions are covered here. Northern Europe, called the Boreal region, Southern Europe, referred to as the Mediterranean region, Eastern Europe, referred to as the Continental region, and Western Europe, which is referred to as the Atlantic region. The losses are based on 1.5, 2, and 3 degrees Celsius. The 31 billion euro loss is what Europe is looking at yearly with a 2 degrees Celsius global warming, which is the average for Europe. And that does it for my section. Hope you found our piece informative. It was nice seeing you again.
The European drought will end at some point, leaving behind devastation to certain sectors. But the real test for Europe and the UK will come this winter, when they will be dealing with high energy prices. The will of the Europeans is being tested. It is up to their officials to see how they can help their own citizens instead of being led down a path that forces them to dish out money to the outside instead of spending it on the inside on their own citizens. That does it for this edition of the program. It was great having you with us. For Mika Vitale and the team, it's goodbye until next time.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فجمع السحرة لميقات يوم معلوم
So the magicians were assembled for the appointment of a well-known day.
وَقِيلَ لِلنَّاسِ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْتَمِعُونَ
And it was said to the people, Will you congregate?
لَعَلَّنَا نَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَةَ إِن كَانُوا هُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ
That we might follow the magicians if they are the predominant.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we reached the 39th verse of chapter Shu'ara. وَقِيلَ لِلنَّاسِ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْتَمِعُونَ And it was said to people, Will you assemble? This was the continuation of the conversation and somehow the fight between the side of Moses and his brother Aaron and that of Pharaoh and his companions. Moses showed up a miracle, they did not believe in it, and they considered it as a wizardry and sorcery. So they asked all the skillful sorcerers and wizards of Egypt to come and gather in one appointment of a day well known, as the verse says, فَجُمِعَ السَّحَرَةُ لِمِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ in order to fight and defeat Moses and to defend the side of Pharaoh. Moses was sure that he will be victorious in this fight. So he chose a specific occasion, which was the one of the feasts of Egyptians. And Moses knew that he is going to be victorious. So he wanted the light of faith to be shining in more hearts of the people of society. So the verse implies that people were also invited to attend this struggling, as it declares, وَقِيلَ لِلنَّاسِ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُجْتَمِعُونَ And it was said to the people, Will you assemble? As we said, it is very important to the legitimate rulers and oppressors of each time to attract the people's opinion, to have the people gathered in every scene, because they want their propaganda going on. This statement of this verse, the 39th verse, shows that Pharaoh's officers did their jobs very calculately. They knew that if they forced people to attend the gathering, they might react negatively. So they declared that if they were willing to attend it, they could do it. Certainly, such a way of speaking attracted more people to that event and gathering. And the people and companions of Pharaoh were so experts in inviting people. Let's move on to the next verse after a short break.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now, continuing the previous verse, the 40th one says, لَعَلَّنَا نَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَةَ إِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ. Haply we may follow the sorcerers if they are victors. So, in that event, Moses and Aaron were standing alone on one side because they had faith, and Pharaoh, all rich people and wizards, were standing on the other side. They were truly worried. Here, the role of faith and its power gets truly clear. Moses had that determination and he was sure that he has Allah with him. So, anyway, these companions of Pharaoh told the people that their aim was that if their sorcerers became victorious, whose victory was the victory of their gods, they would follow them, and they promised to treat so enthusiastically that the enemies of their gods would perish forever. The verse says, لَعَلَّنَا نَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَةَ إِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ, that we may follow the sorcerers if they are victors. So they wanted the people to warm up the gathering so that the enemies of their gods would be defeated totally. It is very clear that the considerable presence of fans and supporters who advocate one party is both to boost morale and to provide hope and assurance. It also causes them to try their best. When their team succeeds, they can make such noise in the advantage of their team that their contending party will go to seclusion, and they can frighten the opposite party from the beginning of the struggle. So imagine these aims. Pharaoh's officers wanted to call people to the gathering. Moses, alayhi nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, also asked Allah such presence of people so that he could achieve his aim in the best way. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. Your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the member you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
Without a doubt, Imam Hussein is in love with the Quran. We read in his ziyara, Ashhadu annaka at-tali li-kitabillah. Yes, if I want to introduce you to people, I bear witness that you are at-tali. At-tali comes from tilawa. You're the one who would recite Quran in that special way. Tilawatul Quran isn't just qira'atul Quran. Tilawatul Quran has its etiquette. On the night of Ashura, you yourself said, Inni uhibbu salata wa tilawata kitabillah. You said, I love salat. I love to recite Quran. Or in the ziyarat, Assalamu alayk ya sharik al-Quran. Yeah? The one who is paired with the Qur'an. Hadith al-Thaqalain is all about this idea that the Ahlul Bayt are paired with the Qur'an. So there's no doubt about that. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is in love with the Qur'an. So I want to share with you a few stories in which he comes back at somebody with a verse of the Qur'an. Very simple. These are very simple. But they are a reminder to us how things should look, inshallah, with us being the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. It says that Abdullah bin Amr, his name is. So there's a little bit of history here. Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As. So we all know Amr bin al-As, right? The mastermind of Siffin. The one who, if he wasn't there, Imam Ali would have finished off Muawiyah. But it was the idea of Amr bin al-As to put up the Qur'ans and show the simple-minded people on Imam Ali's side, about 20,000 of them, show them that, look, This, you're fighting us. We're Muslims too. Look, we have the Quran. Just letting you know, FYI. And so thousands of, in the army of Imam Ali fell for this. Like, oh my God, we're fighting these people. We were told these guys aren't Muslim. Now they're showing us the Quran. They believe in the Quran. Imam Ali, what did you like? What's going on here? Did you not tell us the truth or something? So they went against Imam Ali. Well, whose idea was this? Because Muawiyah, he's like, it's all over. It's Amr's idea. Amr bin al-As, he's one of those, he's one of the four, I think, that have been considered as the smartest of the Arab. Yeah? Anyway, he has a son by the name of Abdullah, who is known for his religiosity, his worship. He's an arif, kind of, you know. And so it's interesting. They say him and his father had 12 years difference. So his dad had him when he was about 12, 13. His dad got married very young, apparently. And so he's one of those sahaba of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, this son of Amr bin al-As. And he embraced Islam before his father, they say as well. Okay, wonderful. But man, the problem is this. I don't care about all that. Which side are you on in Siffin? That's my question. I mean, it's very, for us as Shia, it's very easy. The measuring sticks are there. If someone was alive during the time of Siffin, the first question we ask, I don't care what your past is, I don't care what your, whatever, what your lineage is, where were you in Siffin? And so this Abdullah bin Amr, he's on the side of Muawiyah. But there's an explanation here. There's a justification here. We'll get to that. So it says that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam one time passed by, apparently in Masjid al-Nabi, passed by this Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As. This is years after Siffin. And Abdullah says, "Man ahabba an yandura ila ahabbi ahli al-ard ila ahli al-sama, falyandur ila hadha al-mujtaz." If anyone wants to see somebody that is so beloved, more beloved in the heavens than on earth or whatever, look at this person that's passing, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. All right? And I have never spoken to him after Siffin. Well, duh. If you're fighting him and his dad in Siffin, of course you're not going to talk to each other after Siffin. So a famous companion of Rasulullah is there in this gathering, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, very famous. Yes? It says that he went to Imam Hussein and he said, he took this Abdullah to Imam Hussein. He says, this is what he's saying about you, Imam Hussein. You're like the best ever. Then Imam Hussein, he says this, فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنِ أَتَعْلَمُ أَنِّي أَحَبُّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إلى أهل السماء وتقاتلني وأبي يوم السفين. You are saying that I'm the most beloved in the skies on earth, everybody, and then you fight me and my dad in Siffin. What's up? Right? So it's not just us as Shia living today. Brothers and sisters, this is super important. It just came to my mind now. Thank you, Allah, for putting this in my mind. It's not just us today who say, how can you love each other and fight each other in Siffin? Because that's what some of, or the majority of, Ahl al-Sunnah will say. They will say that, look, yes, they were fighting each other, but they still loved each other. We say we just can't register that, comprehend it. How does that work? Well, as a matter of fact, Imam Hussein, according to this report, also can't comprehend it. He's like, if I'm the most beloved in the skies, that means I'm on the right path, right? So why are you going to fight me and my dad in Siffin? Come on. So Imam Hussein also is like, what's going on here? Now look at this. And this is when you look at religion in a black and white way, it becomes very problematic. He says, I'm sorry. وَقَالْ إِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَالَهِ قَالَ لِي أَطِعْ أَبَاكْ. The Prophet had told me that I need to always obey my father. Obey my father. Amr bin al-As, my father, said you have to come on our side in Siffin. So the Prophet has said that I need to obey my dad. All right? So that's why I went on that side. Now this report, that's all it says. He said, my father said, the Holy Prophet said, I must obey my father. But I saw other reports. They say that the ones that we don't really actually accept, says that my father told me I should obey my, excuse me, the Prophet said, I need to obey my father till the end of his life. Okay? Anyway, what does Imam Hussein reply with? What would we say in response to this? Well, first of all, we'd facepalm ourselves very hard. And then we'd be like, come on, like, do we even have to answer this? But the Imam, he answers with this verse of the Quran. So the Imam says, أَمَا سَمِعْتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ I don't care what the Prophet said according to you, of course. According to you what the Prophet said, or else we care what the Prophet says, because what the Prophet says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى The Quran says whatever he says is wahi. So, but the way you're quoting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not going to take it. As a matter of fact, I have a measuring stick that shows me what you're making stuff up. Why? Because the Quran says, have you not heard? Allah say, forget the Prophet. Allah say, in wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika bima laysa laka bi ilm fala tuti'huma. Have you not heard Allah in the Quran? He says, if one of your parents or both of them, they push you towards something wrong like shirk, fala tuti'huma, then don't obey them. Why? Because have you not heard what the Holy Prophet also has said, according to you, if you respect the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. When it comes to obedience, there is no obedience of anybody if it equals to and is paramount to the ma'asiyah and disobedience of the khaliq. Forget the khaliq, the creation of God. I'm not going to have obedience when it comes to the creation of Allah if it's going to go against the creator. Very simple. But you see, you can really shut that person's mouth, who everyone sees as an abid zahid, by the way. Shut his mouth up with what? With a verse of the Quran. Because you can't come back at a verse of the Quran. You can't say, well, the Prophet told me this. Well, the Prophet himself is saying, follow the Quran.
I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
You're listening to Husseiniyah from IRIB English Radio by Sayyid Abbas Rezavian. Labbaik Ya Hussein.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka Ya Aba Abdullah. Peace and salutations upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send my condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam upon you, brothers and sisters, and I welcome you to the program Husseiniyah. The Ashura of Imam Hussein has many lessons for us to learn. Ziyarat Ashura is a ziyarat that is a gift by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam to us, and we learn that the bala of Imam Hussein is not only limited to him, it is also our bala, it is also our trial and tribulations, it is also our misfortune. When we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam and we see how patient he was, how strong he was, that his patience even amazed the angels. And he was a mountain, and he gave patience to his followers. We learn that in life, we need to be able to deal with our own trials and tribulations. We learn that we need to be strong. And we said that if a person wants to reach happiness, happiness is what? Happiness is minimizing pain. Happiness is managing our misfortunes. Happiness is maximizing our joy, enjoying life, enjoying spirituality, enjoying religion. Therefore, the more we manage bala, the more we understand bala, the better we will enjoy our own life. And this is a great lesson in Ashura, inshallah. One of the methods that we talked about how to manage pain, how to face difficulties, we said we need to be aware that difficulty faces everybody. Two, that we have to have correct action, that we can have resolve, and that we have to have plans how to take care of our financial needs, how to take care of our emotional needs, how to take care of our family needs, how to live in society in a correct way. There are methods and skills that we learn. We need to learn that sometimes there are trials and tribulations that happen, and that we have to become very strong, and we need to have the strength to overcome them. And one of the ways, and maybe the best answer to how to manage our pains and how to manage such difficulties that all human beings face, is this answer, is that when we accept the fact that we are an abd, that we are a slave of God, that we are His servant, we understand that He is our Lord, that He has commands and He has plans for us, and that we truly understand that when He wants us to be faced with hardship, that there is good in that hardship, that He is a loving Lord, He is a caring Lord, He is trying not to just torture us. He is trying to make us excel. He is trying to have us, our position be elevated. The commands of God, true, they have maslahat, they have good in them. They separate us from mafsada, from corruption and from bad. True, there is purpose and goal in the commands of God. But the fact that He commands and gives us orders and things to follow, and He gives us trials for us to overcome, this is so that He can make us a greater abd, make us more humble. When we become more humble, we become similar more to the prophets and to the imams. When we become more humble, we get closer to God. And that is the essence of spirituality. Look at Satan, for example. He worshipped God, but he was arrogant. But bala makes us humble. Many times, brothers and sisters, you faced difficult times in your lives probably. And your tears have shed and your heart has been broken. Then when you cry and you claim that you love Allah, that you need help from Him, that is when you are the most sincere. That is when you are the most connected to God. Why? Because that is when you have realized ubudiyat. That is when you have become a slave of God. A humble slave that owes nothing, that owns nothing, that is completely faqir, and that realizes he is ghani, that he has all the things that the creation needs and wants. And that's the essence of the trials and tribulations that follow us, that it makes us a greater abd.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry while infant children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein.
Welcome back. We were talking about bala, and we're talking about misfortunes, trials, and difficulties that we face in our lives and how we can overcome them. We said that when a person realizes that there is a purpose to this bala, That is the essence of the solution of how to deal with our calamities. That we know there is purpose and we know there is reward. Imagine if a person lived life and he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in a wise creator. He didn't believe in a commanding Lord. And that all these different factors from the beginning, you know, when you're a baby, from being hungry and thirsty and being in pain, until when you reach become an adult and you have your own different trials and tribulations. You see that life is filled with such great pain, but you don't know where that pain is coming from and what is the purpose of it. Imagine how deep in darkness a person would be and how confused they would be and how weak a person would be. But on the other side, we have believers that they believe in Allah and they believe that when God brings for them trials and misfortunes, there is a purpose to it. And that purpose is to bring him closer to himself, to bring us closer to God. Then that person becomes very actually joyful, even in the face of trials and tribulations. He becomes even grateful. He becomes so spiritual that he realizes that everything from God, either if we see it as good or if we see it as bad, all of it is good for us because he is taking us towards himself and is removing us from the nafs, the desires, the ego, the greatest barrier between us and God. He is shattering that. Once that's shattered, we connect to God. We become very easily connected to God. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Sermon 192 in Nahj al-Balagha talks about this. Says, but Allah tries his servants with various ordeals and obligates them with various forms of struggle and tests them with various dreads. So there's struggle, there are dreads, there are ordeals, but there's a purpose why Imam Ali says this. He says there's a purpose. إِخْرَاجًا لِتَكَبُّرْ مِنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ In order to eradicate vanity from their hearts, takabur and arrogance, the same attribute of Satan, to take the Satan away from us, to make us humble. وَإِسْكَانًا لِتَذَلُّلْ فِي نُفُوسِهِمْ To take away vanity from their hearts and instill humility in their souls. And that this may open the doors to his favor and the feasible means to his forgiveness. Allah is making us instilling humility in us. Allah is taking away arrogance from us. And that is what the purpose of our life is, to be an abd. Don't we say in our salat, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, that I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is his slave first and then is his messenger. Being a slave of God is the greatest quality of our Prophet. And that is how we reach him and connect to him. Not by arrogance. Not by doing whatever our nafs wants, because our nafs is our greatest enemy. By actually taking away ourselves from the nafs and the lower desires into just submission. As the traditions say, religion Islam is huwa taslim. The religion of Islam is nothing but submission to God. And this submission itself brings us so much power, gives us so much strength, gives us such great favors that a person that becomes a true slave, a true servant of God, becomes the most powerful person, becomes the most able to manage their pains and difficulties because they see themselves as a student of Imam Hussein. They see themselves when trials and tribulations happen, they see themselves as being tested. And they want to pass this test, just how Imam Hussein alayhi salam passed his test and even amazed the angels with his patience. We want to pass this test. So in this Muharram, that we are understanding bala, this great bala that happened on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we reflect on our own lives and we say that we want to be able to, just like our Imam, just like our master Imam Hussein, dealt with his pains, we want to become like him. How did he deal with his pain? The solution is he was an abd. He understood that this bala is for a purpose, and that purpose is to increase him more in ubudiyat, in being a slave of God, in being humble in God, and to take away everything else besides God in his heart. Inshallah, in this Muharram, we can learn to become a greater servant of God, a greater slave of God. And this is the key to dealing with trials and tribulations and difficulties in our life, inshallah.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human beings from the perspective of Quran and Islam. We said there are two worldviews when it comes to mankind. There are those who are self-conscious and those who are world-conscious. Those who are world-conscious, they only care about themselves. Those who are self-conscious, it leads them to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a different perspective altogether. Now, the main criticism projects towards the Western culture by the world's intellectuals is that the world-conscious culture, which bends and moves toward self-oblivion. Within this culture, man comes to merely know the world. The more he attains the awareness of the world, the more he forgets about his own being, which is natural. The more I indulge in my desires and pleasures, the more I become in the state of ghafla, as the Quran calls it. And when I am in the state of ghafla, I forget who I am, where I am, where did I come from, and where am I going. And I forget who even made me to begin with. Why? Because I'm no longer aware of these things. I'm just aware of my own self and my own desire. Now, this is something that the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam constantly speak of. Even the Quran, he says, when he talks about the concept of ghafla, the concept of unawareness, is that these people become like animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, but they are worse off. Kal an'ami bal adallu sabila. They are more misguided than animals, because animals, they have innate, they have fitrah. The innate tells them that you need to do 1, 2, 3, and they follow program. Human beings, we have intellect, we have brains, we can think and we can act, we can create, we can invent, and so on and so forth, which animals are not capable of doing. So when I shut down that process of thinking and logic, then I turn myself to be in the animal kingdom. In fact, I will be worse off. Why? Because I have something that I'm not using. So imagine this. A man goes to the market with $1,000 in his pocket, but yet he can't buy a single meal because he thinks or he acts as if he has no money. You'll say this person's insane, which in fact he is. because he has the money, but he does not know how to use it, and he's not even using it. So Allah says, "Kal an'am," surely the between them and mules and animals, the similarity is the fact that they both care about the desires. But we will make humans worse off. أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا is the fact that they have something that they are not using. If animals could speak, they would look to that human being and they say to him, "Have you lost your mind? Allah has given you a brain and you're not using it. You brought yourself to my level." So Allah says, no. Actually, sorry, we have insulted the animal kingdom. You are worse than that. So we need to become self-aware, not world-aware. Even though world awareness is also required, but it has to go in equilibrium with self-awareness, not just worry about this world and dive into it. Let us take a short break and then inshallah we will continue right after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the Program for Humanity. Now, we are talking about world consciousness and self-consciousness when it comes to the human being. Now, we said that a person will forget himself once he becomes only and only world aware. Now, this is the actual mystery of the fall of mankind in the West. When man loses his own self, as we call it in Arabic, khusran al-nafs, which is a quote from the Quran, what would be the use of this mystery of the world? The strongest criticism of the Western culture in this aspect comes from the late leader of India, Mahatma Gandhi, in 1869 to 1948. In his book, My Religion, Gandhi says, "A Westerner is able to achieve great feasts which other people assigned to the providence of God, yet he is unable to reflect on his inner self. This suffices to reveal the absurdity of the false glare of the modern civilization." I mean, he really summons up everything in this sentence or couple of sentences. That people in the West, they can achieve such greatness, they can create such magnificence as we can see in terms of technology, in terms of civilization and what have you. But in terms of reflecting on himself, they fail miserably. And that's why you see that when people extract all the pleasures and desires they can from this world, then they have nothing else to do. And they feel the void in themselves. Some of them turn to suicide, which the rates are crazy. If you can just go Google the suicide rates today, amazing rates, scary rates. Or some of them might turn to, as what we call today, inner peace and inner spirituality, which is also won't get you anywhere because sooner or later you'll get sick of it. Why? Because it has no goal, it has no aim. You just, again, even when you go into this self-meditation kind of form, you're only trying to please yourself. And pleasing yourself is very limited. But one needs to start pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he says, if you know yourself, you know your Lord, you need to reflect in your inner self. And this reflection should lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to sit on a mountain and try to, you know, hum your way through the day and try to achieve self-peace. That might give you a bit of peace because you're disconnected from the world, but it won't get you anywhere. So self-awareness and world awareness, two different things. they need to be combined for us to be better human beings. And when you see people, sometimes they fall on either one of these spectrums. They either become so self-aware that they neglect the world, and those who become so world-aware that they neglect the self and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam teaches moderation. You have to be moderate. Kuntum ummatun wasata. You were a middle kind of ummah, nation created. So we need to be that. Not to fall on this side, nor on those side. We have no left and right in Islam. There's only the middle path. All right? We'll leave it here, and inshallah we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
You have just listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent